you, Miss Gina, for leading us in worship. Isn't she awesome? She really is. Well, if you'd like to be seated, I just wanted to say as I, before we start on session 37, that when I was coming into the parking lot and just different conversations I had today and everything, I just thinking of even, I was going back to when I was talking to some missionaries, me and Gina know, and they pastor church in Bangkok, Thailand. And even them being there, just the, they said, even now, still, they said, and this is before we ever had, we didn't talk to them about anything. They said, even with everything going on in America, they said, as we flew and came and landed in America, we could feel a difference. That heaviness, that oppression, that they fight in Bangkok, Thailand. They said that lifted off of us as we flew out of there. So still feeling that there's still light in America. And so as I was coming to the parking lot, I just began to thank God for this nation. And then my heart started being broken for feeling, how does God feel about what America in some degree and fashion, where it's headed and where it's gone? Don't you think it breaks his heart? Him being the creator of righteousness and truth, how it breaks his heart. So I just began to thank God for this nation, thanking God for you and I able to worship together. We can still worship together. I can still freely, I don't have to go into a restaurant. I was with Steve in a coffee shop today. We were talking about the Lord, and then I realized that I was starting to get loud because I started to get excited. And so I said, okay, I got to tone my voice down. Not everybody in this coffee shop's got to hear my conversation, but I didn't have a fear. It was a thing of just respect, but I didn't have a fear of talking about Jesus with another brother. And so I just began to thank God. Aren't you thankful? Can we just take a second and say, Lord, thank you for this nation. Lord, thank you for this nation. Thank you for the United States of America. Thank you for the roots from which it came from. Thank you for the foundation from which we are today to be able to be the nation that we have been and are because of that foundation. So, Lord, we're so thankful. Thank you for this country. Father, thank you for the freedom to worship tonight. Thank you that we can honor you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, that I can still talk to you in talk about you in a restaurant. Lord, I know there's areas where maybe that can't be done now, but I thank you that here, at least where I'm at, which is in Little Chino Valley, I can still talk about the Lord Jesus with enthusiasm. Thank you, Father, for that. So I honor you that. And on the flip side, Lord, my heart's broken tonight for where our nation is. And so, Lord, out of thanksgiving, out of a heart of thanksgiving, we say, Lord, thank you for pouring out your spirit, pouring out a spirit of repentance, pouring out a spirit of grace, pouring out a spirit of truth, Father God, bringing people into the kingdom of God, bringing people out of darkness into light, being transformed, transitioned, brought out of darkness into his marvelous light, because Lord, that's in the end, that's what you desire to do it in our family members, Lord, to do it in those things, those people that are important to us, and those that we don't know, those in government, those in high positions, Lord, we ask that you'd pour your spirit out even upon the most vile God hater, and with your grace, saving people, God, for that'll have an impact in this nation. Lord, we're praying for that. Lord, we know that you answer prayer. So, Lord, we thank you that we add to the many millions of prayers are going up for this nation. Lord, we thank you that you're hearing those, and we thank you that you're answering those prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Doesn't it feel good to pray for our nation? I just felt good because it's so easy just to get bound up into all the negative. And so we've got to, from a heart of thanksgiving tonight, at least say thank you, Lord, for the good things. Amen. And coming into Christmas, into the Christmas season, right? Amen. So we are in John chapter 5, right? And we are in session 37. So for the next few minutes, I think we'll cover maybe a couple of verses. But we have, remember, just going over a couple of verses on John chapter 5, verse 21. We have, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life." Thank you, Lord, that you've given us life, right? "So the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son." And then we spent some time talking about the authority of Jesus Christ. And that really ministered and touched me because it made me realize how much power there is in the gospel. How much power there is in the name of Jesus. How much authority. He says, "Hey, I'm giving you authority." And so the authority that God has given us as believers, amen, to pray for the sick, amen, to proclaim the gospel, to set at liberty to those that are bound with the good news of Jesus Christ, right? Amen. "And given all judgment to the Son." And then verse 3 says, "So that all will honor the Son just as they honor the Father." So we talked about that. A lot of people will talk about God, right? We don't have a problem. You can talk about God, right? You can say things about God bless you. You can say that. Most people don't matter. They will not say God. You say God bless you, no problem. But if you start talking about Jesus, the name that is above all names, well, then principalities and powers, the God of this world does not like that name Jesus, because that's where the authority is. That's where the power is. And that's the only name under heaven which mankind can be saved. So the enemy hates that name, amen? But you and I that have come out of darkness into light love that name, love proclaiming the truth by that name that sets the captive free, amen? Can I get an amen even on a Wednesday night for that? "So that all will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. The one who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." So there's no way to honor the Father. There's no way to have a relationship. Amen. Does God love people? Yes. He's not being mean and saying, "I don't love you." It just said, "Hey, I have made the plan of salvation. I have laid it out. This is how that you can be restored into fellowship with me, is through the precious blood of my Son." So God giving his best from heaven, amen, giving his very best, the most precious thing he had, his Son, in order that you and I could be restored unto fellowship. Fellowship to God through his Son. So we talked about how the enemy, you remember in the past, wants to dishonor the Son. He in every way he wants to dishonor the Son. Cults, we talked about cults. They will focus on works. Is anybody here ever focused on works, trying to please God? I'm sure a few of you here. They will focus on works. They will focus on your efforts. Focus on your actions. Focus on your knowledge of God, or what their perceived knowledge of God is. Focus on how you even dress. Focus on you following the leader. But at the root, there is a discounting of Jesus as deity. All of those is a discounting of Jesus as deity. And having authority, Jesus have authority as God. I just want to make this understood that we are his children. He is our Father. And in the Old Testament, Israel were the children of God. Israel were the sons of God. Israel had a father who was God. Isaiah 63:16 says, "Doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting." Sometimes you'll hear people say, "Hey, well, God wasn't known as a father in the Old Testament." Well, we're under new and better covenant, but yeah, he was the father. He was the father of the children of Israel. Look at Isaiah saying, "Doubtless thou art our father." Hosea 11:1 says, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." Out of Egypt. So people ask, well, why did God treat Israel so harshly in the Old Covenant? This is one thing that unbelievers or somebody doesn't know God, they're always pointing to the law and pointing to the wrath of God under the old covenant. So why did God treat Israel so harshly? You ever wondered that? We know God made a covenant, and these are the children of Israel. God made a covenant with Abraham that was extended to all the children of Abraham, known as Israel. It was because of the law. Did you know that? The blessings and the curses of the law. Does anybody know where you find the blessings and the curses of the law? Deuteronomy chapter 28. I think you probably heard me before many years ago when I was reading Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we'll get into why was those the blessings and the curses. I read those blessings, and then I started reading the curses, and I identified more with the curses, the fear, the running from enemies, all those things, because I had been, because I didn't know the grace of God and only knew the law of God, myself was operating under the law of God. It was getting the results of the curses. I didn't, and so right then I had this revelation that said, if I'm experiencing all the curses of the law, why can't I experience the blessing? And when I did that, it started opening up a world to me as far as God's grace, His goodness, that the only way I was going to experience the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, was through giving my life through Jesus Christ. Because the efforts, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life, so all my efforts were always going to end up falling short and trying to measure up to whatever certain standard, which always leads to fearing God, but not the fear of God in the right way, a fear of the wrath of God, which always led to this, always I'm trying to run from something chasing me. And that's what the curse of the law was, trying to outrun an enemy. But when you are walking in the blessings of God, you face those enemies and say, hey, I've overcome you by the blood of the Lamb. I am authorized through Jesus, and being a joint heir with Christ and being a child of Abraham, I can experience the blessings of God in my body and healing. In my life is peace and joy. In Him providing me, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. I can walk in His joy. I can walk in His strength. I don't have to walk in bondage and chains. And so all those many years ago where maybe I couldn't even go on vacation, so I had to work. If I went on vacation at all, I just experienced torment. There was always something I was thinking I needed to do. I was always running or being fearful of something, but I didn't even know what it was. And so when I read that, I'm saying, Lord, I don't have to experience the curses. I can walk, here's the thing, I can walk in your blessings even in my weakness and failures. Isn't that amazing? Even in my weaknesses and failures in my life that I'm still walking in, I am still walking in His blessings and not in the curses, by faith, saying, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you that, yeah, I understand I've still got a ways to go. But I am walking as a child of Abraham in the blessings of God. And I am not experiencing the curses of the law. You want to know what the curses are? Just read Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. So why did God treat Israel so harshly? We know God made a covenant with Abraham that extended to Israel. It was because of the law, the blessing and the curses of the law. But why the law? Just think of Israel in the desert. Let me put it this way. The golden calf, the complaining about the water, the food, Moses, the leaders, on and on and on. If not for the wrath of God under the curse of the law, there wouldn't have even been anybody left really to stand, to even remain in Israel. They either would have went back, they would have just picked up and gone back to Egypt, or every one of them would have forsaken God. There wasn't the new covenant. There wasn't the Holy Spirit living in individuals. So a lot of the things that they under the curse of the law, they experienced was so they wouldn't have the whole society walking away from God. They knew that if we do this, we're going to experience the curse of the law. But if we'll do this, we'll experience His blessing. So God was able to keep a remnant of Israelites until Jesus Christ came. If God didn't have the law, then Israel would have become just like every other country around them. The Moabites, the Jebusites. Remember all the sites? they would have become like every other country around them. And even with the law, even then, there was always just a small remnant of people. Either there would not have been but a few people who would have served God, or they would have turned back and gone to Egypt altogether. Think of Elijah. 7,000 in all of Israel. How many? I don't know if there was 5 million, 2 million, 3 million. I don't know. But think of in the day of Elijah, 7,000 in all of Israel who did not bow to a false god. Only 7,000. By the time Babylon had surrounded Jerusalem, remember when they were defeated by the Babylonians? By the time Babylon had surrounded Jerusalem, not but a very small handful had even known who God was for the God of the past. They didn't even know anything about their past, hardly. They didn't even know much about the Bible. Moses and the children of Israel coming out through the Red Sea was almost like a fable. It was like a story. It was almost like it wasn't even real. So not by a very small, but a very small handful even knew who God was from their past. So wipe out the knowledge of the past, by the way. You can guarantee there will be no future. Did you know that? I would say Christ is the founding, is the father of this nation. Would you agree with me? I didn't say it was perfect. I didn't say that we didn't have our troubles. But I would say that God, or Christ Jesus, Judeo-Christianity, is definitely the founding of the nation. He is our father. See, our founding fathers did not mandate a specific religion, but there is no doubt that Christianity played a big part of the founding of this nation. I love the story of Benjamin Franklin, who wasn't an overly zealous religious man. Do you remember those classes we had? What were they on the Constitution that we had? That was like 12 weeks. Wasn't that, if you were part of that, that was amazing. Man, the first 2 weeks we did that, I just cried. I felt like I was just repenting and being cleansed. I didn't know the foundation of this nation myself. You hear it, you read it, a few things. But when we had all those weeks, those 12 weeks of talking about our Constitution came from, man, I was wowed. And so I love that story of I think they had met in Philadelphia, were trying to put the Constitution together. These men, I forget how many men there was. But they couldn't come to an agreement. And this is what Benjamin Franklin said. He says, let's go to church. So they went to church. They had a meal together. They came back, and within 20 minutes, they had the whole thing ironed out. Don't tell me God wasn't the foundation. Benjamin Franklin said, hey, let's go to church. So all these group of men go to church, to a service, worship God, share a meal together, and then put the finishing touches on the foundation. I'm grateful for this nation. We got to be careful of our history. See, because we have this thing now called Project 1619. Have you heard about it? Replacing 1776 as a foundation of this nation. So they call it the founding sinners instead of the founding fathers. Fathers only decided independence to protect slavery. Now, we know we had to have slavery, but we had some slavery, but it was not founded to protect slavery one iota. But that is what, if you can rewrite history, and give it a false narrative, a lie, in place of the truth, then you're sure to undercut and bring a nation, a company, a family, whatever it is, to their knees. It'll destroy them. So this. Let me just talk about this Project 619 a little bit. Fathers only declared independence to protect slavery. So one of the people that began this one was a professor, Gerald Horn. He was a supposed historian for this project, and a journalist named Nicole Hannah Jones was the face of this effort to recreate the founding of America. So Professor Horn had a soft spot, and you can go on YouTube or anything, you can hear these soft spots that he had for like Robert Mugabe, the brutal Zimbabwe dictator, and Fidel Castro, talking positive in a positive light of them. Professor Horn said the fall of the Soviet Union was a geopolitical disaster. The New York Times was the ones that really gave this false narrative some feet. So newspapers like New York Times, others, liberal newspapers, are the ones that started pushing this false narrative of the founding of America, saying this is really the founding of America. And so the thing is, if you think of Fidel Castro, if you think of some of these dictators and what they promised people, what they promised, they would come to power bring utopia to the masses, to the country, but it always ends up being false and a lie, and it actually brings oppression and what? Fear. Oppression and fear. They're opposed to God, opposed to Christ Jesus for sure, elevating man and and promising euphoria, but delivering death and fear. So that's what a lie will do. It'll seem good for a minute. It'll appease to the flesh. It'll appease to those that are bitter and resentful is what it does. And the problem is, as time goes by, we're not careful, we get a bigger group of people because of believing a lie being sown into their lives, whether it be from a family or a school, become bitter and resentful. So they are ones that are deceived that'll receive a lie about what'll bring freedom. See, the devil will always lie, won't he? Hey, if your certain job, a certain lifestyle, a certain boy, a certain girl, a certain this or that will bring freedom, but there is only one person that can bring freedom, amen? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the enemy always has an enticing lie, but it's always rooted and grounded in bitterness, resentment, hate, discord, and it will produce what's sown, which is a lie. So, but there's this 17, has anybody heard of the 1776 initiative? So there's a 1776 initiative with black members, white members, etc., who have come out against the 1619 project and said, this is an absolute lie. The only way that you can fight a lie is with the truth. It's the truth that'll set us free, amen? So declaring the truth, now that's a lie, but here's the truth. So if Satan can get the young people to reimagine the founding of this nation, meaning Christianity is just a white European religion of bondage, which is absolutely a lie, that Jesus is not the liberator, but characters of communism are the true liberators, then there's no future for Christianity. So when we're standing up and fighting for the truth, that's what we're doing. We're declaring the truth and praying that God, that the truth by your Holy Spirit will find a heart that says, everything I've tried, the bitterness, the resentment, the doing my own thing, pursuing my own path has led me to nothing but being dry, disillusioned, lonely, in despair. And that's the time where the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit can change a heart. It can change the masses one by one. Amen. See, what the world wants to do, it's calling right wrong and wrong right. Isaiah 5, 20 through 23 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Aren't you glad you're not one of those? Aren't you glad? Is everybody here a pursuer of truth? Man, we have to be pursuers of truth. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Does that sound familiar? Do we see that right now, saints? Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes and drinking wine and valiant men and mixing intoxicating drink, who declare the wicked innocent for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. Amen. That scripture 23 again says, so all that honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. The ones who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. If we don't honor our past, the truth, saints, there is no future. Amen. Thank you, God, that we honor our past, believe in the truth, and declare it. Amen, amen, and amen. You guys remember King Josiah from the Bible? just talking about truth. Now, he's in the old covenant, but once again, this was a time where the book of the law, the Bible, so to, let's say the Bible had been lost. Just say that we, let's say that there was temple worship. Let's say that we came to church, but there was no Bible. And so people are going off of things that they that their parents told them, their grandparents told them. And so everything that they were believing was based upon what they'd been told, but there was no word. So think of that, right? This is what's going on. So when the king, Josiah, became king when he was 8 years old, and I'm not sure how old he is right here, in right at this time, at this event, but it says, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, see what happens, that they were cleaning the church. They were cleaning the temple. And one of the priests says, hey, what is this? What's this funny-looking book? it sounds crazy, but he says, this is the book of the law. And so they started reading this book of the law. So it says, when the king heard, so that the priest read it, and they said, you know, we better tell the king what we found. We better not keep these writings of Moses and some of the prophets before us. We better not keep it to ourselves. So we better tell King Josiah. Now, King Josiah had a heart for the Lord, didn't he? Yeah, he had a heart for the Lord, for God. So when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded, they read it to him. He said, what? So they started reading the blessings and curses. He started reading what was going on. So when the king, then the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest, Hilkiah, the son of Shaphan, Achbor, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and all of Judah concerning the words of the book that have been found. The wrath of the Lord that burns against us is great because of our fathers did not listen to the words of this book to act in accordance with everything that is written in them, regarding everything written in them. And so if people don't honor Jesus, you have dishonored the Father God, right? It all starts with a small lie. Discredit the Bible or the deed of Jesus, and it goes from there. For you and I today, we don't, it's different, right? They were under the old covenant, but they didn't have the word of God. So for you and I, with the word of God spreading the truth of the gospel, the word of God is precious. Do you remember before when I taught Bible school here 1 year, and I had this short little on YouTube, you can find it. It's this group of Chinese believers receiving a Bible for the first time. And just the way they acted, they were holding, it was just all the oohing and awing and grabbing the Bible and just kissing it and holding it. They couldn't believe that they had been getting little pages of the Bible that would be passed around, and they got their own Bible in their Chinese language, and they were just holding on to it and saying, man, this book is precious. This book is precious. So now we reach people by preaching reconciliation through his love, which was lavished on us through the cross, a gracious gift. And where do we find out about this gracious gift? It's still through the Bible. It's still precious. It still changes lives. It still sets the captive free. The power of the Word of God, if we don't realize the power of the Word of God to change a people, to change a people. So one thing we got to know, that as if God's going to move in this nation, move in you and I, it's going to be that the power of the Word of God still, through the Holy Spirit, it's still precious. It's still precious, amen. It was precious when Josiah found that book of the law. He says, man, I love God. But he says, we haven't had the word of God in so long. And as they began to read it, they realized how precious it was. And they started becoming doers of the word. He says, man, we've got to repent. Look at where we've been. For you and I, we reach people now by preaching reconciliation through his love, which was lavished on us through the cross, a gracious gift. You know Romans 5. I mean, Romans 3, 4, 5 are just the most awesome chapters in the Word of God, in my humble opinion. Romans 5, 5 says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. for why we were still helpless. Anybody remember when they were helpless? If you still feel helpless, we'll pray for you tonight. No matter what situation you may be in right now, you're not helpless. He has lavished, He has filled you with His love. For we were still helpless at the right, and then at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and I, right? For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for the good person someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by how? By His blood. Christ died by His blood. We shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Saints, you don't have any fear of wrath, do you? If you have fear of wrath, then you don't know His love. Right? Perfect love casteth out fear. You think about it, the in man born this eternal compass, right? And for him to not let it to drive him nuts with conviction or fear, he has to harden his heart to the point where he can say, there's no God, there's no heaven or hell. But the truth remains that there's coming a time where the wrath of God will be poured out, but it will not be poured out on His people. Amen? It will not be poured out upon you and I by simply putting our faith and trust in the finished work of God. Amen? Amen and amen. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by His blood, hallelujah, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, everybody say much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life, hallelujah. And not only this, but we also celebrate in God. Has anybody ever celebrated? Are you celebrating in God? Amen. For what He's accomplished for you and I. It's always good to remember that says, and not only this, but we also celebrate in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Amen. That is good news. Even on a Wednesday night, that's good news. Then we're going to go to verse 15, it says, but the gracious gift, say gracious gift. Man, it is not just a gift, but it's a gracious gift. The grace of God. It's a gift that was not earned. It was not a gift that was deserved by any way, shape, or form. That's why they call it a gracious gift. Amen? But the gracious gift is not like the offense. Well, who offended? We know the offense first started at Adam. For if by the offense of the one, the many died. That's a way of saying by the Adam, by the offense of the one, the many died. Much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. Can you say overflow? Thank you, Lord, for your overflow. Thank you for the overflow of the grace of God. What area do you need His overflow of grace in your life? Amen. Just praying. We all have those things that we're saying, Lord, I need your grace in this area of my life. He loves it when we ask for His grace. He loves it when we ask for His help. He loves it when we lean into Him saying, Lord, I'm trusting your grace in this area. Give me wisdom. Give me strength. Give me victory. Help me to grow into this. Help me, God. He loves it when we lean into His gracious love, His gracious gift. For the gracious gift is not like the offense. For if by the offense of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one offense. Adam brought judgment on the world, did he not? Yes, he did. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one offense, resulting in condemnation, but on the other hand, the gracious gift, say it one more time, saints, gracious gift, arose from many offenses. Everybody's offended. Everybody's born in sin. Everybody's born needing a Savior, resulting because of Jesus, because of that gracious gift of Him giving His life, resulting in justification, just as if I had never sinned. Justification, just as if I had never sinned. As if I was born as white and as pure as can be. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. I've been justified. Amen. Anybody here been justified? Thank you, Lord, for your justification. The gracious gift arose giving justification, resulting in justification. For if by the offense of the one, here he goes again, that's Adam, right? Death reigned through the one. Much more will those who receive, say much more. Death, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. As I've learned about this grace and his love through faith, even in all the struggles, I'm learning to just look to him. I'm learning to walk in joy and strength, even in all the cares of the world, even in all the struggles of the world, even in everything I face. How about you, saints? I'm learning to be able to walk in joy and peace, even in the middle of that. My flesh, my mind might be tearing at me, but my spirit, man, inside me is getting established, saying the joy comes from here. The peace comes from here. And when it comes like a river of life out of me, I'm able to walk in that peace and that strength when everything else around me should be saying I should be pulling my hair out. Amen. But yet because of what's swelling and springing from inside of me because of this gracious gift, I'm learning, it's called maturity, to walk in his peace, in his strength, in his joy in the middle of the storm. See, now the waters around me, Jesus may not be saying peace to the storm around me necessarily, but he's saying peace so that storm inside of me is not raging. He's leading me beside still waters. He's leading me beside those green pastures, amen. He's feeding me. He's strengthening me, amen. And so that I can just keep walking in that strength and that peace. So then trusting him with those rough waters, the things going on around me, I trust him and say, Lord, thank you that you're going to bring me through this. I think of George Mueller. Anybody heard of George Mueller? He's the guy that had the orphanage. And God would produce miracle after miracle after miracle, provision of food and everything this orphanage would need. But just reading about him and his trust and faith in God that he said, when I would pray, I've given my problems to God. He said, now when I pray right past those problems. I'm praying to him. I'm praying about the future. I'm praying about what God's going to do. I'm looking at that, knowing that all those things in front of me, I've already given to him, and I don't even waste any time, he said, anymore in my prayer. I pray right past those. And it's always stuck in my mind that that scripture, looking unto Jesus, right, the author and finisher. So looking past the problem, not pretending like it's not there, but knowing he's the one that's going to give me the wisdom and the strength to get through it. Looking, so he said, I'm able to look past those things and praise him and worship him when we're sitting there at the table waiting for dinner. And he hears a knock on the door and opens it up, and here comes all this food. Amen. He said, I was able to not let any of those things break my faith, my trust, and my joy. Amen. Where's it coming from? It comes from the spirit man, right? We're born again. Out of our bellies come that love, joy, peace. I love to hear when people, well, I don't like to hear about their struggles. I'm not saying that. But I love when people trust God and then I'll talk to them and they'll tell me about how God brought them through that. How God provided in that situation. How God answered that prayer. Knowing that he answers our prayers, isn't it wonderful that we can and should, and the Lord desires that we walk in peace, right in the middle of that. Walk in joy and strength, right in the middle of that. Isn't that good? But it's from his word, he's good. Amen. So that when it means the gift of righteousness, look, the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. You know, reigning life is just like what I explained. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? That's not reigning in life, right? Being just wealthy or whatever in the exterior, just in monies or health or whatever, but not having joy and peace inside. Is that reigning in life? Amen. I don't know about you, but thank you, Lord, that we reign in life. Can we stand up a second together? You know, I was just a couple notes that says here, when you understand the gift, his gracious gift, you can't help but have a heart that overflows and says, Lord Jesus, I want every part of my life to look like you. Is that correct, saints? I think of that like a little boy, young boy who loves his dad, a heart for his dad. The little boy who wants to be like his daddy, he'll dress like him, he'll walk like him, he'll talk like him. Not to earn his dad's love, but from a heart fully accepted by his dad, who is his hero. And be accepted fully, 100%, by our Lord and Savior, by our God. I have this heart, says, Lord, I love you so much. I want to be like you in every avenue. I want to see you continue to do miracles in my life. I want to see you continue to do the impossible. I want to continue to see you answer prayers. And as I'm doing that, I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you. I want to act like you. Because you are my hero. Father, how we love you. Lord, we thank you for the person of Jesus Christ that lives within us. Lord, we thank you that it's a relationship and it's not trying to please him, but it's coming from a place that we've already pleased him, that we say, Lord, that we want to be like you in every area of our lives. And with a heart like that, we continue to grow in you. We continue to fellowship with you. We continue to see you do mighty works in our lives and those around us. So we thank you for that. We honor you. We worship you. We praise you. Lord, we're so grateful for you. We're so grateful for what you're doing in our lives. We're so grateful that you're pouring out your revelation of who you are and your victory if we simply will just trust you, Lord. And so we thank you for that tonight. We thank you for the thing, Lord. I thank you for all the things that are going on and around in and around our lives. Lord, we trust you with those things. Lord, we thank you for breaking the power of the enemy, those areas where he tries to harass us. Lord, we thank you that we can exercise authority, Father. We thank you for we command the enemy to shut his mouth in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. The Word of God says that we shall trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. And so, Father, as we stand, as we believe you for bringing victory in these areas, Lord, I just ask that we, Lord, you would help us to walk in peace and rest in our homes and our relationships until we see those victories. We praise you and we exalt you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah.